All right, so make sure you finish strong. Last hour. And a lot to get done still between now and the end of the program. And I've got a podcast, which I'm going to push out at the end of the program. All of that still ahead. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. L.A. Dodgers outfielder Alex Verdugo will be in studio at 40 past this hour. It's Adam Hawk, the EP. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. The reaction to Vic and the SmackDown player profile is pretty predictable. People hate his guts. Not me, I like Vic. I like Vic. The ones that really hate his guts are not radio appropriate. These are the types of ones that I can actually read on the air. Bruno Garrett 1 tweets, "Damn, I miss Vic. Pound for pound, the best out there." All right, so this guy says pound per pound, Vic is actually the best. East Bay Troy tweets, "I can get Vic to call anytime you want. Just mention my name. Regards, Masterbuilt Smoker." One of the raps on Vic is he only calls when we give things away. At DJ Baby J 1974, "My radio is about to explode listening to Vic's past calls. Complete fire for the smack off." At The Real Left Hook tweets, "Vic VJ Moore was peak jungle hatred." That's true. That got really dirty, really nasty, deeply personal, uncomfortable, awkward, dirty, filthy, savage, nasty, whatever you want to call it. At 3-in-1 audio set tweets, "Broadway Victoria got deported to Rikers Island." I don't know where Vic is. I know where he's not here. So the reaction is what you'd expect. A lot of hate. A lot of hate, some love, and then some people who just didn't get it. Adam, throw the cans on. Now, as we know, especially because of CBS Sports Network, people find the show that ordinarily don't know the show. Tell me about the one caller who wanted to come on and talk about what he thought about Vic.
Yeah, after you profiled Vic, we had someone call in, talk to me. He was very distraught, very upset, and he said he would like me to pass a message on to you that he doesn't want to hear those calls anymore because they're rude and they're not nice. And he would really like you to stop playing the rude, not nice phone calls.
Well, it was rude. It was not nice. The guy's right about that. What the hell show does he think he's listening to?
Apparently, he's heard this show before because he said it's a great show. I know. I didn't think so either.
He said it's a great show.
Yeah, he said it's a great show, but that call was very rude and not nice, and he would like you to stop playing those calls immediately.
Well, yes and no. I mean, he's right about the call, the tape, but I'm not going to stop doing it, right? If that guy didn't like that, can you imagine that guy trying to sit through a smack off?
I hope he tunes in June 21st. That would be great.
All right. Thanks for sharing that. All right. So that's always curious to me. Like, hey, I really like that show, but hey, man, that was not cool. That was not nice. That was rude. You're not making the world a better place. Yeah, actually, I'm trying to eradicate that sort of thing. Well, maybe not that sort of thing. What show do you think you're listening to? I almost brought back Nice Radio. Back in the day, every once in a while, I would get a call like that from somebody who would say something like that. Like, man, why is that guy like that? Why did that person make that phone call? That was not nice. That was rude. That was uncalled for. That was unnecessary. Why do you do that? That's irresponsible. How are you on the air, and why do you allow that? It's your show. And then I would say, you know what? You know what? You're right. I think it's getting away from me. I think we're too caught up in this whole concept of the jungle. We should treat each other the way we would like to be treated. That is unnecessary. That is uncalled for. We don't need to do that. Let's lift each other up instead of beating each other down. And that was the statement that I made back then. And maybe Maybe now we need that more than ever before, especially with the cesspool that is social media. All the garbage, all the vitriol, all the hate, all the anger. Why is everybody so angry? You know what? Maybe this guy's right. Maybe what we really need is a good dose of nice radio.
Where we only say nice things.
We only say positive things. And we will not tolerate any negativity, any venom, any vitriol, any disrespect, anybody trying to make themselves look good by beating somebody else down. Yeah. That's what we need. Nice radio. So understand this. If you come in, I take that to heart. That was a really good call. I wish that guy had been on the air. Are you feeling better already? Isn't it nice? It's nice to be nice. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Jim.
How are you? Great, I hope. Don't go, Adam. I miss you. Let's see. Stucknut says, time for the garden. Hashtag nice radio. Right, we're no longer a jungle. Jungle does not suggest niceness. Jungle would suggest the antithesis, the opposite of nice. It is the garden. That caller was right, Adam. I wish I knew his name and where he was from. We haven't been nice. Vic was not nice at all. Not to Ray Ratto. Not to Jay Moore. Not to Brad. Not to Caleb. Maybe I don't want Vic on the 21st. Anyway, it feels nice to be nice. Let's go to the phones. But understand, I'm going to hold you to a new standard. If you would like to participate in this garden, you be nice. This is nice radio. And I got the idea, the reminder from that caller who said to Adam Hawk, I don't appreciate those phone calls. It's a great show, but you don't need that. You're better than that. And he's right. We are better than that. So if you're going to call this show, you best be nice. Or something not nice might happen. Well, it won't be not nice, but you will not be welcome. That's not a nice way to put that either. Let's just say you need to be nice. Let's go to Los Angeles. Why, Matt? Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hey, Jim Rome. I wanted to be nice myself. You know, Victor in NoCal, it's not that he got kicked out of NoCal per se. I think it's that everybody started thinking of him and mistaking him for a busted up Steve Perry looking like he fell off an ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a
saying
call.
Somebody fell out of an ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down is not something I would consider nice, Matt. That was not nice. Matt, I'm not sure what it is you do not understand about nice radio.
Nice.
That
nice
doesn't work.
Radio.
If you can't be nice, you cannot participate. If you have nothing nice to say, Matt, from Redondo Beach to Rwanda, you're not coming on. But have a nice day, Matthew. Have a nice day and hello to the family. Hope things are going well for you at work. You look good. You look great. Always good to hear from a friend. 1-800-636-8686. Listen, when you make the statement that the show's not nice, the callers aren't nice, the host isn't nice, you're right. We need to be better. In fact, even myself in the past, I've said, do better. Do better. Well, I need to do better. And we all do. And by do better, I mean be nicer. Nice radio.
Nice,
God, it's a lovely
nice,
day.
Nice radio.
Let's go to Orion, who's no longer in Waterford. Orion. Hello, how are you?
Hello, Jimmy. Are you having a nice day?
I'm having a
nice, wonderful day. And on this wonderful, nice day, I just want to say, Victor, it's not nice to say that Caleb is fat, nor that Rick, has a big head. Do you know what else isn't nice? The way I have treated you in all these scopes for the last month, running you out, making fun of you, insulting you, talking about how you walk on Broadway to make my money. Victor, that's not nice, and I just want to apologize for all the dark and evil smack that I have levied against you. It's not nice, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're wandering around.
That's not a good call. No.
Orion?
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
I'm sensing heavy sarcasm.
Not a very good call.
Sarcasm's not nice. I smelled snark. I question your authenticity, your sincerity, most of all, your niceness. I do hope all is well with you in Waterford or wherever it is you're living right now. But I'm on to you. That was tricky, but not nice. So we're not having that.
Nice radio.
I'm here to make the world a better place. I'm here to make all of us nicer. I'm here to host Nice Radio. If you're wondering what is going on here, if you're wondering what the hell is... Wait, that's a bad word. Shame on me. I'm sorry. Maybe I need a timeout. That was a bad word. I'm going to have to run myself.
That's not a good call. No.
A caller called up Adam Hawk and said, hey, listen, that's not nice. That's rude. A call like that should not be on the air. And rather than my lash out and hammer this guy, I agreed. And I thought that it was time to bring back Nice Radio. And I'm so glad I have.
Nice.
Would anybody else like to participate?
Nice
Radio. 1-800-636-8686. Why don't we go to one of the nicest towns I know, Des Moines. I've been there, lovely town. We go to Des Moines, Iowa, Andrew. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
James, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Andrew?
Well, I just wanted to call, and I know we're keeping with a not nice theme, and you may have touched on it, but Toronto getting after Kevin Durant getting hurt, that is certainly not nice. Shame on you, Toronto. I'm out.
Rack him. Well done, Andrew. I almost gave you a golden ticket, Andrew, because that was very nice. Pointing out how unnice Toronto was extremely nice of you. Well said. That was not nice. Those fans who cheered Kevin Durant as he lay on the ground, perhaps with a torn Achilles. You know, earlier in the program, at a different time, I might have gone in and said, you scumbags. But that's not nice. I can make my point without resorting to name-calling. Scumbags. See? That's not nice. Old habits die hard. Let's just say you should not have done that. And you know you shouldn't have done that. You know it. Listen, do you not feel better about yourself already? Is everything not much better already? I know I feel better about me. Frankly, I don't know if this show's ever been so good. And let there be a lesson in that. You can be nice and still be great. Let's go to St. Louis. What a great time to be in St. Louis. An amazing time to be in St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Alvin, St. Louis is not nice. St. Louis is on the verge of a Game 7 and a Stanley Cup championship. So let's go to Mike in St. Louis. Hello,
Hi,
Mike.
Jim.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Are you having a nice day?
Oh, I most certainly am, Mike. Thank you for asking. How about you?
Oh, I am too. I'm a first-time caller. But I'd really like to wish the Boston Bruins fans a really, really nice day. Since they ruined our party on Game 6, we'd like to ruin theirs on Game 7.
Mike? No.
You don't like that comment.
Ruin is not a word that should be in your vocabulary. Ruin does not suggest nice. Why would you want to ruin anything for anybody? You're not ready to play nice, Mike. So you're not ready for the jungle. We don't ruin parties here, Mikey. We don't ruin anything. So let's just make sure that first time call is your last time call, if you can't be nice. Anyway, just keep it nice. I'm here to be nice. I'm all about nice. Hey, look, let me tell you something. Thanks, Alvin. This show's not for everybody, all right? It's just not. It's not for everybody. I'm not for everybody. The show's not for everybody. Every once in a while, somebody's going to get their skull cracked. And there's going to be clone-on-clone crime. I do my best to weed out as much of it as I possibly can, but there are certain things that I cannot control. I cannot control what certain callers are going to say. I'm going to lay out the parameters. I'm going to do my best to check you hard. However, certain things will happen. It might not be for you. What you're going to get is a host who's got a very distinct point of view, a host who is smart, a host who is charismatic, a host who is talented. And we're going to book the show, and there's going to be some really good interviews. But it might not be for you. My point of view might not be for you. My callers might not be for you. But it's not always going to be nice. Sorry about that. Sorry, not sorry. Vic, where the hell are you? You're still invited. Bring it back, Vic. This is what happens when we try and play nice. You get nice radio. Nice, you tell me what's better, the jungle or the garden. Radio. What would you rather have? And don't tell me there's some in-between or some comfortable median. It's one or the other. Do you want the jungle or do you want the garden? It's one or the other. I only know one way. 1-800-636-8686. You imagine me doing this as long as I have? 25 years, 28 years. And every once in a while, somebody would just drop out of the sky. Like, oh, let's see what we got going here. Ooh, that's not nice. It would have been one thing when I first hit the airwaves in the early 90s to say something like that. It's freaking 2019. I'm like the nicest guy in the radio at this point. That's not nice? Yeah, right. Exactly. Kudos, you're right. All right, then. Hope you enjoyed that trip down memory lane. I know I didn't. When we come back, one quick segment. Alex Verdugo, Dodgers outfielder, joins me in studio a little bit later on. This Father's Day, give Dad a shirt from Untuck It. You know, shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. Untuck It shirts have that just right untucked length, so pops can look sharp and feel casual. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Untuck It has more than 50 fit combinations, so tall, short, slim, and bigger dads can experience the perfect-fitting shirt. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing. Even the wrinkle-free options. Are you not exactly sure what Untuck It item to get for dad? Then just go to untuckit.com. See all their great Father's Day gift ideas. Use the promo code ROME20. Then take 20% off your first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuck It at one of their 60 retail stores across the country to get your perfect fit. Get fast, free shipping and returns on every single order in the U.S. at untuckit.com. Remember, the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off your first-time purchase in-store or at untuckit.com. Untuck It for Father's Day. Dad will love it. Untuckit.com, promo code ROME20.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. 1-800-636-8686. I'm telling you, lost in all of last night's action. Understandably so, is the fact that Golden State actually won that game. The Warriors went on the road. They were down 3-1. They lost Kevin Durant to a soul-crushing injury. They're trailing in the fourth quarter, and yet they still found a way to win that game 106-105. Absolutely amazing. Just because they were gutted after that game does not mean they lost. I mean, they seem like they lost, but they won. They found a way. And there's so many different people to praise for that, starting with Kevon Looney, who's out there battling his ass off. He's got a busted up collarbone. That dude's fierce, an absolute stud, fighting through obvious pain to be on the floor, only to get taken back to the locker room during the game, and then declaring not long after the game that he'll be ready for game 6. Not, I need to wait and see how my body reacts. He's already declaring himself ready to get back out there. That guy was in extreme pain the entire game. It's a legend right there. Then you've got DeMarcus Cousins. Now, there's been a lot said about DeMarcus Cousins over the course of his career. But when you saw him last night, there was no questioning his heart. This is the guy who used to be known as Boogie. He's through with that nickname. He does not want to be called Boogie anymore. He was critical last night. Like when KD went out, DMC went in. And he was the guy. He was the guy who steadied everybody and everything. He kept them above water when everybody else was seemingly shaken and rattled. It was Cousins who kept that series alive. Yeah, I said it. DeMarcus freaking Cousins. No, check that. DeMarcus Amir Cousins. You play like that in that moment, on that stage, you get governmented. Let's be real. Once Durant went down, it seemed like it was only a matter of time before Toronto put that game and that series away. I'm not going to lie. I was thinking the same thing myself. Because the Raptors are that good. Golden State is that banged up. It was only a matter of time, right? Before guys like Fred VanVleet started to hit from deep. And Kawhi went to work. And Toronto would just turn on the afterburners. The Warriors could fight all they want. But willpower and grind can only get you so far when you're that banged up. And beaten down. And gassed out. And you could tell the moment that it changed. Kawhi Leonard on the break. The Warriors' bench goes crazy for travel, but he feeds Norman Powell, and this happens.
Goes to Kawhi Leonard. He's one on three. Gets it to Powell. Down Main Street for the jam. Norman Powell comes right down Main Street.
Raptors radio. Like, holy crap. The roof nearly came off that place in that moment. And it was then that the monster that is Kawhi really went to work.
Rebound Leonard. Leonard for three. Bang! Raptors lead. Leonard drives, pulls up, banks it home. Five to shoot. Leonard's going to try another one. Puts it in! Kawhi Leonard! Back-to-back threes! Leonard to the rim. Pull-up jumper. Got it! Kawhi Leonard taking over here in game five.
That's it. He was taking over. I mean, at that point, Toronto could feel it. And I don't mean just the team. I mean the entire building. Not just the building. The entire city. Jurassic Park was rocking. All the Jurassic Parks were rocking. The championship was right there for them. Up six, under 3 minutes to go. Just a matter of seconds before Toronto can party like it's never partied before. But then Steph Curry did this.
Warriors not going without a fight. Iguodala takes a handoff for Draymond to Curry. Curry takes a three. It's up and good! Curry! Has tied the game at 103.
Curry did that. Then Klay did this.
Curry behind the back. Dribbles baseline. Feeds Iguodala. Touch pass. Draymond to Klay Thompson. Pump fake. Fly by. Three ball. Got it! 56.6 to go. Warriors back.
Warriors radio. Splash Bros. If you need them. An amazingly clutch moment. And by the way, how have I gone as long as I did without talking about the refs? That crew had itself a night, didn't it? They were everywhere. Calling everything, including a moving screen on DeMarcus Cousins with less than 16 seconds to go. You thought Steph and Klay were clutch. Give it up for the ref who decided to drop a moving screen call with under 16 seconds to go in an elimination finals game. Man, that is brass as hell. And it set this up.
VanVleet down to 12 seconds, 10 seconds. Waiting for Leonard. Leonard catches on the logo, steps out. Guarded by Klay Thompson, 6 seconds with 5 seconds. Leonard right side stops, feeds VanVleet. VanVleet, one dribble, get the corner. Lowry is blocked by Draymond. The game's over! The game's over! The game is over! The Warriors have won!
Somehow the Warriors survive. Somehow they win. So you want to crush Toronto for that final play? You want to take a run at Kawhi for giving up the ball and letting somebody else make a play? Yeah, I guess. But did you see who really made the play there? Draymond Green. Correction, Draymond freaking Green. He got a piece of Kyle Lowry's shot. His time expired. This is why he's Draymond Green and you're not. This is why they're Golden State and you're not. You know, you want to take a run at Nick Nurse for that timeout that appeared to shake Toronto's momentum? You can do that too, but that's not about this. This is about Golden State ripping that game. This is not about Toronto's strategies, which probably could have been better. It's about Golden State. It's about the Warriors and their heart, which is maybe the most underappreciated thing about this team. Like, finesse my ass. They've got guys who are jacked up, probably have no business even being out there, but they're not just out there. They're out there making enormous plays, big shots, dropping daggers, and doing it on the big stage. That's what that's about. Golden State being banged up, tired as hell, gassed on defense, and keeping Toronto from putting a ball in the basket for the final 3.5 minutes of that game. With their season on the line and a chance for another championship on the line, man, they find a way to dig deep. They battle. They get it done every single night. Put some respect on them. 1-800-636-8686. I've got Alex Verdugo coming up next segment. Quickly, let's go to the phones. Santa Maria. James in Santa Maria. James, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing okay there, Jim. I'm just trying to get the word out. Like, you know, all these congressmen and everybody getting fined for groping and indecent touch and stuff. But I tell you what, I got a story back in 1984 at the Nevada Open. I saw Tommy Armour III cocaine. He's done cocaine, and he's a successful man. And,
James, my man, did you just say you sold Tommy Armour cocaine?
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that.
Well,
not a very good call.
I don't know if that's true or not. It sounded like there was a good story in that. The problem is, my man's phone sounded like it was halfway down his esophagus. Did he just say he sold Tommy Armour cocaine? For the record, I don't know if that's true. I'm assuming it's not true. But when I tried to ask him about it, he didn't hear me, and his phone was halfway down his throat. Anyway. Hey, Hawk, what are you doing over there, man? Anyway. Let's take a short time out. Wild day, right? Little nice radio. Some guy from Santa Maria saying that he sold a famous golfer cocaine. Speaking of famous golfers, Elk came in. Chris Woodward, the manager of the Rangers, came in. And when we come back, an outfielder for the LA Dodgers comes in. Literally in studio. Alex Verdugo. That's next. Stay tuned. 10 days off until the smack off. MMAer, UFC icon, Uriah Faber is my guest on the Jim Rome podcast, which we're going to push out a little bit later on today. Right now, here is your sports update. All right, welcome back. Here in SoCal, it's a big deal. The Angels and Dodgers get together. It's always a really big deal. So, as part of that, we're joined in studio by an outfielder for the LA Dodgers. He is having a big year. 287 on the year, 4 home runs, 28 runs batted in. He is ninth in the All-Star voting right now. He was a second-round pick back in 2014. The Dodgers have got the best record in the National League. They're tied for the best record in all baseball. And again, they're at the Angels tonight, 7:07 p.m. Pacific. I'm joined in studio by Dodger outfielder Alex Verdugo. Alex, it is good to see you, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. Are you impressed with my studio?
Yeah, I love it, man. It's a
That's not
different.
What you said when you came here, man. You're like, dude, I thought this was much bigger.
Oh, hey, I'm gonna let the fans in on a secret. This brick right here, it's not even real brick.
That's a lie, man. Hey, actually, it might not be. It might not be real. I knew I shouldn't have brought you in here, man. This is what happens, man. Guys always calling me out. You're right, though. You're exactly right. The thing reads well on TV. All right, so you dropped a tough one to the Angels last night. I know that you're not pleased with the result, but Angel Stadium was packed for that game. Man, how fun is it to play in a game in June when you have that kind of energy and that kind of juice?
It's amazing. I mean, you know, just obviously we want to go out there. We want to win every day. That's the goal. You know, that's what our organization preaches. But just to go out there and even on road games, home games, like when we have 40,000, 50,000 fans, it's one of those things, man. You step out there to the box, you step out there on the field, and it just hits you different. You get a different feeling inside. You get you know, you have a natural adrenaline that just kind of comes with it.
I was going to say, Alex, watching you play, I've got a feeling like you have that adrenaline, that energy, no matter where you are, regardless of the stadium, regardless of how many people there are there. In fact, a big part of the atmosphere in the clubhouse, Kike Hernandez said of you, this is what he said about you earlier, quote, he's very unique. So far, we have welcomed it with open arms. He's playing his ass off for us. Whatever it takes for us to win, as long as he's not taking it to an extreme where it's borderline disrespectful to anybody, he's not doing any of that, so it's been a lot of fun to watch so far. So my question is this. How important is it for you to bring that energy day in and day out and know that your teammates can count on that juice and that lift no matter what you're doing at the plate?
Yeah, you know, it's big. It's one of those things you want to stay consistent. Baseball players, we talk about it a lot, about riding the roller coaster. You know, you want to stay in the middle. For me, you know, being a high energy guy, I kind of wear my emotions on my sleeve. I show it when I get frustrated. I like to show it, you know, just it's something that I've always played with. It's the passion. You know, I love this game and I always want to succeed and, you know, be the guy who comes through for the team. So I hold myself very high to that. But yeah, like Kike said it great, you know, it's just there is a point where, you know, you kind of go too much about yourself to where it does get disrespectful or you kind of are taken away from the team. So for me, I try to find that happy medium and, you know, you want to let out your frustration, but you also want to, you know, flip the switch and get back to it and, you know, kind of reset.
Do you want to use the fuel? If you want to use the fuel, it's kind of like Draymond Green. Like, I have to know how to channel it. You want to use that fuel, not show anybody up or anything like that. And I know you don't want to make it about yourself, but let me ask you this. I mentioned off the top, you're ninth in the All-Star voting. At the moment, you need to stay in the top nine to advance to the next round of voting. Again, you're not focused on the personal honors, but how much would it mean to you to be in that top nine, and what would it mean to advance?
It'd mean a lot. You know, it's obviously one of the goals as being an athlete and a player. You want to, you know, through the course of the season, you want to win a World Series, but you also want to win these little things, you know, All-Star, Silver Slugger. You know, there's various awards that you can get, Gold Glove. So for me, you know, it's cool to even know that I'm ninth in it right now. I've been on a little bit of a struggle just where my average has dropped. So, you know, the fact that I can flip the switch and get hot again and kind of, you know, boost those numbers back up, well, it's good to know.
Alex Verdugo joining me in studio. Dave Roberts said of you last year, quote, he can essentially do anything on the baseball field. And we're talking about Dave Roberts here now. What's it mean to you to hear that kind of praise from your manager?
A lot. I think it's something, you know, I've always kind of had like internally where I've always wanted to be the best. I've always wanted, you know, my game, I never feel like it's done growing. I always want to improve in every aspect. And, you know, whether it's offensively hitting for more power or just, you know, getting base hits to stealing bases or making a play in the outfield, I've always, you know, wanted to be a complete all-around player and help the team no matter what.
So part of that's working on your mind, part of that's working on your body. Back in February, you posted an Instagram pic of you with the legendary Gil Reyes. You and I were talking about this off the air. Man, I love Gil Reyes. I haven't talked to him in a number of years, but back when Gil was working with Andre Agassi, those guys would have me out to the events. Gil would hang out. He'd come on the program. God, I love this guy. I know he's somebody you work out with quite a bit. How did that relationship first start?
Yeah, just through one of my cousins. He was working with Andre, and you know, I was like 15, 16 years old, and, you know, I was able to go out to Vegas and kind of just introduce myself to Andre and Gil and go to his gym and, you know, just touch base, just kind of like get to know each other. And, yeah, just I threw down from the first day I went there, and every day I go there, I throw it down. And, you know, for Gil, he loves that. He loves to see the heart. He wants to see you fight. And, you know, for me and him, when we get in there, it's a lot more than just working out. It's also, he's my mentor. He's like a father figure to me. So he's really guided me in the right steps.
He did the same thing for Andre Agassi, who is an amazing, amazing athlete, a Hall of Famer. What was your impression when you first met Andre? What was he like?
I mean, the most humble, nicest, genuine guy you can get. Like, you know, it's just, he truly cares about you and through all his success, you know, how big he has been in tennis and, you know, what he's done outside of it, it's just for him to stay as humble as he has. And, you know, he'll talk to anybody as if he's known him for years. And it's just, it's special, man. It's really fun.
Yeah, something that keeps coming up, too, is the fact that Gil grew up listening to the Dodgers on the radio. I grew up the same way in L.A. I grew up in L.A. listening to the Dodgers on the radio. So you're not just playing Major League Baseball. You're playing Major League Baseball for the L.A. Dodgers. So what's it mean to you not only to be a major leaguer, but to be a Dodger?
It means everything. You know, for me, it's just I wouldn't want to be with any other organization. It's just, you know, I was drafted with the Dodgers. I grew up through the system with them. And, you know, just being up here, being with the guys and our fan base, it's nuts, man. This is the place to be. LA is amazing. And, you know, our fans, they get behind us and they have our back. And, hey, like, you know, you do a couple of good things and you kind of start blowing up. So this is definitely the spot that you want to be at.
Yeah, Alex Verdugo joining me for a couple of more moments. And then you've got these great rivalries. You've got the Dodgers, Angels. You're getting that on tonight. How about the Dodgers and Giants? Again, man, it can be cliche, but you really do throw all that crap out. It doesn't matter. When those two teams get together, man, there's some legitimate hate. And I don't just mean the fans. Well, you tell me, what's the rivalry like from a player standpoint?
Player standpoint, man, it's just really – it's kind of one of those things. As soon as I was drafted with the Dodgers, we kind of like they preach, you know, hey, the Giants, we don't like them. Like, you know, we every time we play them, we beat them.
And they don't like us. We don't like them. They don't like us.
Exactly. So it's one of those things. And it's for us when we go up play there, we don't care about the record if they're doing good or bad. Like, we just go there. We know it's the Giants and we want to beat them down. So that's really our mindset.
I like it. It's a SoCal native because, believe me, they hate our guts. They hate our guts. So when you see Max Muncy turn Mad Bum around the way he did, dude, he wasn't two steps out of the box before that red ass was coming for him. And nothing but respect, man. I love Mad Bum. He's unbelievable. But your dude was not two steps out of that box before he was John Adam. What did you think when you saw that?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little fired up by it, too, because obviously Muncy, when he hits it, he drops a bat, you know, like that. But I thought it was – I didn't think he pimped it bad at all. You know, I didn't think he looked at it. I thought he hit it, knew it was gone, dropped the bat, and started running. And, you know, but Bumgarner, second pitch of the game, he was already John at the umpire. So I think he was already a little mad. It was a day game, so he's already, you know, a little grumpy. But no, it was kind of also good. I think it kind of woke us up and, you know, kind of gave us that adrenaline and we woke up quick for it.
You know, exactly. And again, I've got nothing but respect for what he's accomplished. But what do you make of him or any other pitcher at this point saying, hey, man, put your head down and just run?
I mean, I feel like that's their view. You know, I feel like if I was a pitcher and I was pitching and someone hit a bomb off me, I'd be upset about it too. But that's the competitor in me. You know, it's like I want to be better than the guy I face. So for him to do it, like, I'm not mad at it, but maybe not get too fired up about it if it's that, like, little of a pimp. Like, I would understand if he stood in the box, it landed into the, you know, the ocean, and then he ran. But it looked fine to me.
Dude, if he went Barry Bonds pirouette or he went Jeffrey Leonard one flap down or he went backwards around the bases, that'd be one thing. You're exactly right. He just kind of flipped the bat a little bit and started to go.
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, if you hit him like that, you deserve to do whatever you want.
All right, so back on Mother's Day really quickly. Your mom, Shelley, was one of four mothers who threw out the first pitch. She said beforehand she wasn't sure she'd be able to pull it off, and she fired one right to you. What did you make of her pitch, and what was that like to be out there with her?
It was amazing. It was special. Her pitch, I thought she had the best pitch. You know, I thought it was a strike on the corner.
A little movement?
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, the night before, we were actually in my house, and she was throwing a baseball in my living room, you know, with my family.
Was she practicing?
Yeah, she was practicing. Like, she's also, if I step here, and I just told her, I said, Mom, if I'm right in front of you, just step towards me and just try to throw it.
And what was she like when you were coming up and growing up and playing ball? Was she there? What was she like?
She was. My mom was absolutely like a trooper about it. You know, I was a pitcher too growing up. So, you know, 15 years old, I was getting 88, 90. You know, and my mom would be like, I would have to throw, and my mom would be like, hey, let's go in the backyard, throw to me. And then she's like, I'll get the catcher's gear on. And I was like, Mom, you're crazy. Wow. You're crazy. Like, no way.
I love it. Dodgers Angels tonight. That game is at 7:07 p.m. Pacific. He is ninth in the All-Star voting right now. If he stays there, he advances to the next round. Alex, what did I tell you, man? Piece of cake. Just like that. Good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good to see you. Let's do it again soon, all right?
Yes, sir.
Be good. Alex Verdugo, L.A. Dodgers, joining us. And, again, they've got the best record in baseball. Cologne Smackoff 25 is presented to you by my pals at Vivid Seats. This year, Vivid Seats is giving every Smackoff caller that makes the air on June 21st $50 towards the purchase of tickets on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. Make a memory last a lifetime. Let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit VividSeats.com. That's it. We're done. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day. Don't forget, I've got Uriah Faber on the Jim Rome podcast. I'm going to push that out a little bit later on today. See you then. We're out.